You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Good Friday afternoon and happy Memorial Day weekend to all of you out there. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. My name is obviously not Paul Feinbaum. It is Braden Gall, 855-242-7285. If you want to get in at Braden Gall, of course, Jim in Tuscaloosa. Big story on the show today. Big story on the show today. Big Ten coaches also complaining about playing night games in November. We've got drama off the field at Georgia, Michigan, and USC. What you could argue are the top three teams in the preseason rankings. When we get to that, those rankings coming up here in a couple of weeks, couple of months this summer, I think this weekend is one of the most underrated sporting events to be at in person in the entire sports calendar year on Sunday. We'll explain. And, of course, Colorado and Texas A&M, Deion Sanders, Jimbo Fisher, what do they have in common? So a lot of stuff to do on the show today. Let's head to the phone lines, though, real quickly and get one of you guys in. Charlie in Wicksburg. Charlie, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Hey, I ain't never talked to you before, but you know what? Happy Memorial Day.
You too, man.
Hey, I'm going to give you an update on Jim.
Yeah, let's do it.
He's pond scum that floats to the top to kiss everybody's butt just to get on the show. What do you think?
Listen, I am honored that Jim, that I am living rent-free in Jim's head. I am honored by that. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm an old caller that started calling back in 2012, and Paul liked to put me on them phone feuds with people I didn't know. And I just didn't call the show to be talking to people I don't know. Anyway, long story short, I'm an Alabama fan, and y'all were talking about this Pac-12 doo-doo stuff a while ago, and Big Ten, you know, who cares? We're SEC, okay? And, you know, Paul don't like me calling the show because I get on under his skin. He don't like my predictions. He don't like what I say, especially when I tell him he don't know, you know? And Paul don't know everything. And anyway, Alabama, we are so glad to be number 6 or not ranked. And all the haters got what they wanted last year by us not being in the playoff. And I'm just going to tell you how I am. I've been an Alabama fan all my life. My daddy was an Auburn man. And we put on his tombstone, we don't know why. Okay? That's just how we roll. Are you catching my drift there?
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you, Charlie.
And if you want to talk Alabama football, we have been playing this offense to score 50 points and losing games. And y'all can say whatever you want. We would have had a better game if Alabama played Georgia in the national title game last year. And Paul can say Georgia would have beat us, but Paul don't know that. You don't know that either.
Nor do you, Charlie.
But
nor do you.
Huh?
Said neither do you.
I don't. I admit that. But I would have bet on the Tide. I would tell you, my money be on Alabama.
Charlie, thank you for the call. Here's what we agree on. Here's what we absolutely 1,000,000% agree on. Alabama would have given Georgia a 1,000 times better football game than TCU did. And I don't think any human being in their right mind can argue otherwise. I don't think I'm not sure your opinion matters if you think Alabama would not have played a better game in the championship with time and Bryce Young and that roster and Nick Saban. It's not disrespectful to Sonny Dykes. It's not disrespectful to TCU. It's not disrespectful to what they accomplished. But what they accomplished last year is one of the most unprecedented runs to a championship game that we've ever seen in modern college football. It's just unprecedented. It's unprecedented because of the level of recruiting that TCU does, which is, frankly, going to be the best in the Big 12 once Texas and Oklahoma leave. But it is not top 20 good nationally. You need to be not only do you need to be top 20 in recruiting every single year to compete for national championships, you probably need to be top 10 and probably top 5. So there's no argument. Listen, I would pick Georgia. I would bet on Georgia to win that game. But who gives them the best game in the championship? It's Ohio State or Alabama, probably. Are the two teams you would say, all right, probably give them the best bet. But let's be very clear about that Bama team last year. Y'all know they're a couple plays away from being a four-loss team. A couple plays away from being an undefeated team. So that makes them 10-2, which makes them not one of Nick Saban's best teams. And now Bryce Young and Will Anderson are gone off the team. So it's hard to make the case on paper that they are better this year than they were last year. That's all. That's all. That's just paper, and that's just now in May. I would not bet against Nick Saban figuring things out by the time the season rolls around. It's what he does. It's why he's the greatest of all time. 855-242-7285. Trey from Arkansas. Trey, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you?
How you doing, Brandon?
What's up, man?
I watched your interview on that SEC podcast. Shout out SEC Mike and Cousin Shane real quick. Also, I was wanting to call out Matt from San Antonio.
All right.
We made a bet a couple of days ago on the Feinbaum Show that if the Arkansas Razorbacks beat the Texas A&M Aggies in the SEC tournament, you would give me a Woo Pig Suey and a Never Yield. But if the Razorbacks lost, I'd have to give them what the Aggie fans say. I still ain't going to give them the satisfaction of me saying it. Now, where are you at, Matt? Come on. The Hogs beat you fair and square. You beat us in football like that every year. How does it feel? Don't feel too good whenever you get a walk-off home run or a stupid fumble that swings the momentum, does it? Also, how about them Hogs yesterday beating probably one of the best teams in college baseball against the best pitcher and hitter?
Well, I'm watching the elimination game right now, Trey. I appreciate you watching us. Listen, we had KJ Jefferson on the show just a couple of weeks ago, Trey, and I think I think this Arkansas team is super dangerous. They're super interesting. Dan Enos, year one with KJ. So we'll see what happens with the old Hogs. But yeah, if you made a bet with somebody, you need to pay up. That's just the right thing to do. It's America, right? Like, that's the right thing to do. 855-242-7285. Yeah, I got the elimination game going right now down in Hoover, LSU and Texas A&M. Which, by the way, total side note here, the protected rivalries. I saw some people talking about these protected rivalries and the scheduling in the SEC. If they go to an 8-game schedule, if they stay at 8 games, I will be irate, because one of the best rivalries that and if you're down there in this area of the country, you know you get it. But A&M LSU runs so much deeper than people realize. There's cultural overlap after Katrina with people being displaced. You got history in baseball. You got history in other sports. That I-10 rivalry is one of the best in college football that no one really talks about as like a premier rivalry. And the fact that the SEC is going to protect Texas A&M and LSU football every year, I think that's absolutely mandatory. They've got to protect that football game. I'm watching them play right now in an elimination baseball game. So you've got to protect those two teams. that you've got to let the hatred build for the next 20 years and just let the LSU football just duke it out. It's fantastic rivalry. One of the best in college football that nobody really talks about. 855-242-7285. George from Mississippi. George, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
What up, dude?
Oh, well, first let me just say it's a real pleasure to call in. My granddad, who's no longer with us, was a long-time caller to this show, and he's no longer with us. He had an A-list. He used to call in from Montgomery. He was an Alabama alumnus, and you wouldn't find a bigger fan of theirs. But so it's a pleasure for me to call in, and I waited just to hopefully he's up there looking down and smiling right now. So having said that, I wanted to call and talk just a second about Ole Miss football. I think people are really sleeping on Ole Miss. And the reason I say that is because we knew when we hired Lane Kiffin what we were hiring. We were hiring a mercenary, and we could see what Lane Kiffin did as a head coach when he was motivated. And I'm just here to tell y'all that he's here to stay now. The NIL is really growing here in Mississippi. And you'll see that as evidenced by this incoming defensive line class that we're going to bring in this year. And I think the Pete Golden addition is really paying dividends on the recruiting trail. So I wanted to ask you, what's your thoughts on the longevity of Ole Miss being a potential contender annually under a motivated and complacent, if you will, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss for the long term?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, George. I think what's interesting about Lane Kiffin, and you know, he has evolved like Nick Saban at Alabama. He has evolved over time, and he has changed so much about kind of his own persona. Like, he's got this kind of Twitter troll personality, which is hilarious and enjoyable and entertaining for all of us. But like, that's not really how he is in real life. And he's gone through so much. Some of it his own doing. All the trash talking he was doing when he was at Tennessee and trying to take players with him to USC. But like, he's paid his dues. He's gone through the Nick Saban rehab clinic, and he's come out the other side. He's one of the best offensive minds in the entire game. And I think he's a little bit more confident in himself. He's a little bit more stable in terms of like, I want to be here. I think that's why he doesn't go to Auburn. I think that's why he stayed at Ole Miss. I kind of never really thought he was going to go. I know the flirtation was probably, you know, more closer to being real than maybe I want to admit, but you know, you got your kids in school there, you got your family there. He's just a little bit more entrenched. I think the future is very bright if Alabama doesn't want him when Nick Saban decides to walk away. I think that is that to me is the job Lane Kiffin leaves for. The NFL is going to ask him to come work in the NFL, and maybe he still wants to try that out. Auburn is a premier job in college football. It comes with a lot of things, but it's a premier job. Ole Miss does not compete for national championships the way Auburn does. So to say no is a huge statement to Ole Miss. And I know the fans now are in a business relationship with Lane Kiffin. It's no longer a honeymoon. It's a business relationship because of that flirtation with Auburn. But the dude's a good coach. And they're going to win games this year. They're a top preseason, top 25 team. And in the 12-team playoff era, I think that Ole Miss fans can expect to get to the playoff every few years. Win championships? I just don't think you can. That's not a knock on any. That's not even a knock on Kiffin. That's just the way it is. They haven't competed for a national championship since before integration. And that's just the way it is. I think the only thing that takes him away from Oxford is Tuscaloosa. And the question then is, who is in charge at Alabama if and when Nick Saban decides to retire? And if he decides to retire and there's a whole bunch of different people there making decisions, you can bet Lane Kiffin might be one of the first phone calls that they get, that they make. Because I think he's got familiarity, brilliant offensive mind, knows the division, knows the conference, knows the area, can recruit. To me, Lane is a very logical succession plan to Nick Saban, whatever that year is. 3 years from now, 6 years from now, whatever. But, man, I don't know if the current people at Alabama would hire him. That's all. 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. My name is Braden Gall, in for Paul. Ryan McGee, right here, coming up next, ESPN Radio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen. Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We will get back to your phone calls here momentarily. 855-242-7285. Again, my name is Braden Gall, in for Paul. Obviously not Paul Feinbaum, and still living rent-free in Jim from Tuscaloosa's head. He's called in, and he's berated and dog-cussed my producer, and yet he does not have the stones to call me on the show. That's all I got to say. Ryan McGee joining us here. Author of a brand new book, Welcome to the Circus, of course, about his summer internship in 1994 in Asheville, North Carolina, in single-A baseball. Ryan, how are you, sir?
I'm good. You know what? You're actually making me feel better because, you know, back in the day, I used to sub for Paul a lot. I haven't in a really long time. I don't know why they quit calling me. But when I would do the show, Jim would do the exact same thing. Jim would call. I would call him out on the air, and Jim would call in and complain to the producers or whatever and tell them all the stuff that he wants to say to me, but he wouldn't actually come on the show and say it to me. So
I know.
Actually, it's just, you know, that's how that works. It's like the schoolyard bully, right? And one time you stand up to his face, he suddenly, you know, suddenly runs back to the classroom.
Well, I'm worried about him. You know, like I called him out a couple weeks ago when I filled in, and I said, Jim, I need to hear from you, dude. Come on, dude. And didn't hear from him the entire show, and here we are. But let's sell some books here, Ryan. Welcome to the circus, of course. Listen, you've written about a lot of Southern sports. You have a very romantic relationship with all these Southern sports, whether it's the College World Series, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's college football. But also minor league baseball. Why minor league baseball, Ryan?
Well, it's just what I grew up with. I mean, you mentioned the South. I grew up in the Carolinas, and, you know, the Braves were, if you want to go see the Braves, that was like an overnight trip, right? Or if you want to go to see the Cardinals or the Orioles or whatever the closest team was, you know, that's a trip. But we had, when I was growing up, we had, just in North Carolina, we had a dozen minor league teams, and there were another four or five down in South Carolina and a bunch, you know, up just over the state line of Virginia. So my family, you know, growing up in Raleigh and Eastern North Carolina, our hobby was we collected ballparks. Like we go to, you know, we lived near Durham. We'd go to Fayetteville and we'd go to Columbia, South Carolina, and we'd go to Danville, Virginia, and we'd go to all these places. And it was, so as I've traveled over the years, like I'm in Indianapolis for the 500. And the first thing I did when I found out, you know, got my travel book, I looked to see, all right, are there any minor league teams nearby that are home this weekend? And the answer is no, because they all left town for the Indy 500. But I've been to almost 130 ballparks. So it's just, the book is about a particular summer and a particular team and all those things. But the reality is that, you know, it's just, I love minor league baseball so much that I hope this book inspires everybody to love it as much as I did.
What is it about that particular? Give me the craziest thing that happened to you this summer. Again, 1994, Asheville, single-A baseball. You've got guys blowing themselves up, you know, as pregame entertainment. I mean, we all know what triple-A baseball – we all know what minor league baseball is all about. You got to bring the fans out with a lot of fun stuff. What was the craziest thing you saw that year?
Well, so, I almost drowned myself trying to fill the Dairy Queen machine, which I write about. I almost – got killed by the tarp twice, almost was swallowed up by the tarp, and I literally sailed like about 7-8 feet up in the air when the air got up underneath the tarp, like a parachute in gym class, right? All of a sudden I was flying up in the air. But the big one was, I wrote an entire chapter about this. We call it the Battle of Hickory, and the South Atlantic League
the Hickory Crawdads were a brand new team then, and they were hosting the South Atlantic League All-Star Game. There were 14 teams in the South Atlantic League, and I'm trying to think, in the fine ball footprint back then would have been the Albany Polecats, the Rome Braves, and all this. And so we had photo a session the night before the South Atlantic League All-Star Game. They took the 14 mascots from the South Atlantic League and they lined them up on the field. And it's the Spartanburg Philly, which was a horse that basically his head was just like a road cone, you know, with the horse's head on it. And you had Conrad the Crawdad, and you had the Hagerstown Sun, and we had Ted E. Tourist, who was like a bear, you know, that was a tourist. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a camera and a suitcase, whole deal. Well, one of the mascots was blocking the other one's view, and they started shoving. And the next thing you know, we had a 14-mascot battle royal happening right out by the pitcher's mound at LP Franz Stadium. And what's crazy is this is 1994. If this happened now, it would go viral in 10 minutes because there would be thousands of pictures. There were only maybe a couple of dozen of us in the stadium that night. There's like no pictures. Like I went through every photo archive I could find of every newspaper that would have been there, and there's no pictures. So much like, you know, if you talk to they interviewed all the farmers that lived around Gettysburg when they were watching the battle from their front porch, they all remember, you know, 19 different ways. And the Battle of Hickory, like any great battle in the history of the world, is remembered different ways. But yeah, I wrote a whole thing about 14 mascots fighting. And the best part, Braden, was that they're all screaming at each other, but they all had giant smiles on their faces because they had these big paper mache heads. And it was, it was the bunkhouse stampede of mascots.
Oh, I love it. Ryan McGee joining us here, author. Make sure you go buy the book. Welcome to the circus, of course. Ryan, you could argue that Georgia, Michigan, and USC are the three best teams heading into this season. That certainly upsets a lot of Alabama people, but whatever. Just for the sake of discussion, let's say that they're the top three teams. Well, they're all dealing with very bizarre and different off-the-field issues. This is not new to teams that are at the top of our standings traditionally in the summertime or any other time. Is it possible? Like, Urban Meyer dealt with this. Pete Carroll's dealt with this. It doesn't matter. Like, you get to. Is it just the spotlight that gets pointed at you when you are this good that creates these things, or is there something else at play right now with these schools?
Well, I think, you know, and all those guys you mentioned, I think if they could go back, they would handle things differently, because the reality for all those guys, Urban Meyer and Pete Carroll, all those guys you mentioned, is that, you know, Philip Fulmer, there's an arrest here and an arrest there, and this person gets in trouble and that person gets in trouble, and it's very easy to just go, oh, that's an isolated incident, and you go on about your business because you're still winning games. But there's a long game erosion that starts to take place, and guys start thinking they can get away with stuff. And, you know, these are guys right now who think they can do no wrong. You know, these are mistakes being made because these guys, all they do is win national championships and games and everything else. But you have to be careful because on the surface, it looks like everything's fine and whatever, and we'll just keep plowing. But the reality is that those things start to wear you down. And it's not just a discipline problem. It's a, you know, other guys like, well, you know, well, this guy did this. Why is he back on the team? Or this guy did that. Why is he back on the team? Or this guy was my friend and you didn't help him enough. And it just there's a long game erosion that starts happening, and that's what you have to be careful about, because when you're winning 12 games a year, you know, it's very easy to ignore all that stuff. But when all of a sudden one morning you wake up and, you know, your foundation has disappeared from underneath your feet, you know, you're like, well, what the hell happened? Well, what happened was that these things were happening and you didn't pay enough attention to it. So yeah. You either stop it now or you pay the consequences down the road, because Urban Meyer and Pete Carroll, they ended up paying the consequences. A lot of people did because they didn't pay enough attention to it.
Ryan McGee joining us here. Every single fan base in the SEC right now in May is happy, which is completely terrifying to me. So what's the story we're not seeing? Who's the fan base that is going to implode this fall?
I am so fascinated by College Station, Texas, because, you know, last year is the perfect encapsulation of the Aggie football experience. I'm talking about since the 1890s, because all signs pointed toward, okay, here we go. This is finally it. We're finally over the hump. You know, beat Alabama. Here we go. And it has been, they have been driving like a truck on bad tires on slick roads ever since. And this isn't just a Jimbo Fisher thing. This is the history of Texas A&M football. I say this on our air all the time, and it makes everyone mad, but I looked it up. The last time they won a national championship, the number one film at the box office was Gone with the Wind. That's a fact. And so when you're talking about coming up on a century without a national championship, to quote the great Harry Gantt from the movie Strucker Ace, oh, hell, here we go again. And that's what it starts to feel like. And so I'm really, really curious to see and get a sense of, you know, where their head is, because it is not going to take a lot for them to just completely auger in the fan base. You know, if they start the season, you know, with – I don't have their schedule from it. They start the season with three losses out of the first six games. I mean, it is going to be insanity.
Yep. Ryan, all right, I want a quick answer, and I know that you love both of these things. I think the two most underrated sporting events to attend in person in all of sports and American culture is the College World Series and the Indy 500. I've been to the College World Series four times, and I've been to eight Indy 500s as media and as fans. Which one do you like better?
Nah, don't do that, man, because I'm starting June in Indianapolis, and I will end June in Omaha. And it's kind of in my contract that I have to go to both, right? I'll say this. What I love about the Indianapolis 500 is the same thing I love about, you know, the road to Omaha. It's the same thing I love about the Rose Bowl. It's the same thing we all love about the Masters, the Kentucky Derby, which is it's not about a team. It's about an event that is so intertwine with the identity of the city where it's located that you can't imagine the two things separate. And so, yeah, I'm going to say the Indy 500 just because that's where I am right now. But if I talk to you 3 weeks from now when I'm in Omaha, I'm going to say Omaha.
All right. I would go the 500, but they are my two favorite. There's no question.
Yeah. Ryan, well, the 500 is a one day experience. The 500 is a sprint and the College World Series is a marathon, but every American should want to go to the Indianapolis 500, whether you like race cars or not.
Yep. There's nothing like watching a rocket ship go past you at 2:32. Ryan, thank you, my man. Me appreciate it.
All right, brother. I appreciate it.
Yep. Ryan McGee there, author again. Welcome to the circus. Go check it out. Most underrated sporting event in all of American sports to go to. Not to watch on TV and on your couch, but to go to. I think it's taking place on Sunday. We'll take your calls as well. Braden Gall in for Paul. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'd love to know from all of you out there what is the most underrated sporting event to attend in person. Like, going to the Masters is not underrated. It's one of the few things that actually lives up to the hype when you go. There's not a blade of grass out of place in Augusta National. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, 855-242-7285. I will give you my sporting event, and it's coming up on Sunday. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody out there. Speaking of, Ray from Indy. Ray, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing today, sir?
What's up, man?
I got a couple questions for you.
Shoot.
Are you there?
Yep, I got you.
Okay. Have you seen that movie, The American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story?
I have not seen it all the way through, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's $4 on Amazon right now, Frontier and Comcast Streamline, and money's going for special needs. Him and his wife are really dedicated to helping special needs children through the world, so if you can get that out there. But one other thing, I called yesterday, and there was a guy who was going to investigate it. I don't know if he did or not. Jim Harbaugh, after they lost to TCU, his sixth straight bowl game loss, and I don't know how they got him ranked number four as a college coach of the year. Anyways, I guess because he beat Ohio State the last 2 years, but he's still 2-5 against them. They said had an investigation going about him lying and cheating to the NCAA for 6 months ago. Have you heard anything about that verdict, what's happening with that?
Well, and Ray, I appreciate the call. I know that Michigan is going through a lot of scandal in general. I mean, they had a member of the coaching staff essentially like hacking computers, which is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever seen. And now, of course, they hire Bo Schembechler's son, and he's the nepo baby has Twitter posts that are completely unacceptable, like just complete hate filled nonsense. And like, what are we doing with background checks here? Like, what are you doing? You just hire a guy because his last name's Schembechler, and that's okay. And another thing, Michigan. And to answer your question directly, these kinds of investigations take very, very, very long time. There's not been a whole lot out there about anything with Harbaugh. So I know about all the other stuff going on in Ann Arbor. But he is a diehard Schembechler guy. Like, he talks about Schembechler all the time. I do think he is one of the best coaches in college football. But let's not kid ourselves on Bo Schembechler either. That dude was covering up a lot of stuff at Michigan when he was the coach too. I don't have time to get into it. Go do some Googling. But what are we doing with background checks? Mike Bone at USC has a known long-standing track record of bizarre and inappropriate office place behavior everywhere he's been, and USC's like, no, we did an extensive background check. No, you didn't. Did you talk to a single human being at Cincinnati or Colorado? Again, I bet you Nick Saban and Kirby Smart have like 10 people employed to look at recruits' social media posts. Don't you think? Like, that is a full-time job now in college athletics, is to check all your recruits' social media feeds, go make sure there's nothing crazy in there, no one's saying anything nuts and hate-filled or wrong and inappropriate and whatever. I'm sure glad I didn't have it when I was a kid. I'm sure I messed up and would have said something stupid. But how can you hire a Schembechler and not see, like, blatantly hateful and racist tweets? I'm only laughing because I don't know what else to do. It's just, like, again, one of your coaches is hacking computers? Like, what are we doing? I don't know if it's just the spotlight is greater on Michigan now because they're so good the last couple years, or if they've just made some really terrible decisions. But clearly you did zero background check. Disney did a harder background check on me to be a backup part-time fill-in host for Paul Feinbaum than Michigan did on this kid. It's ridiculous. Or Mike Bone at USC, for that matter. That's the reason he was unceremoniously let go. Don't give me that amicable divorce garbage. That's not what happened at USC. He was run out by the university at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time on a Friday. 855-242-7285. John from Louisville. John, what is up? How are you, sir?
Hey, as a former HR executive, I agree. It is sometimes difficult to discover what the background these people are. Schembechler, somebody did some deep digging to find out him liking some posts, and that's unfortunate. They fired him. The other coach, they fired him when they discovered it. So you talk about Kirby having 10 people on staff to check everyone's social media, but who was checking the driver of the car that crashed that night? And who was checking the others who have tickets? It's not as easy as it seems at times.
No, and absolutely, you're 1,000,000% correct. There is no excuse for like 13 players to be arrested going 130 miles an hour. Like that is absurd. Hey, that is absurd. So
my favorite sporting event, and I grew up in the Midwest, would go to the Indy, go to some Grand Prix, but Daytona 500, because it's the rites of spring, and you can go down on the track and meet drivers and other folks. It's like no other event.
I've been to the Bristol Night Race, and I've been to the Brickyard, and I've been to the Indy 500, and I've done a lot of stuff in Nashville. I live in Nashville, so I've been to both the fairgrounds and, of course, the Indy races, but I've never been to Daytona. It is top of the list for my sports bucket list for sure.
Make it a positive. As far as the SEC fan bases, I cannot believe Florida fans are content at this moment, particularly with that Wisconsin quarterback as a starter and other issues. What do you think?
I appreciate the call, John. Thank you. I do think Florida fans, of all the fans, and I think A&M is in that mix maybe as well, I do think Florida fans are the ones that have the most to be concerned about going into 2023. But we are talking about year two of a new head coach that is rebuilding the entire structure of the program. We'll explain more because I want to get a little deeper into this Florida conversation. Are Florida fans the only fan base in the SEC that's concerned, unhappy? Should they be? Should they be patient? We'll do all of that next. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Are all 14 fan bases in the SEC happy right now? Satisfied? Should anybody be concerned? We'll talk Texas A&M in a little bit, but Florida, I think, is an interesting one to think about. They're probably the only one that has a case to be concerned at this point. I think everybody else is pretty excited, honestly, about their team. Even A&M fans, for as bad as their season was last year, are excited about the prospects in 2023. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum, 855-242-7285. Here's the issue. I don't think you should be concerned yet, Florida fans. I think patience is the name of the game. Billy Napier is a good football coach who stepped in and did the whole Dabo Sweeney back-end remodeling, right? Like, we're going to build facilities. We're going to build out the collective. We're going to build out this whole deal. We need a huge, massive staff of support group. We need graduate assistants. We need analysts. We need recruiters. We need this large infrastructure. And he put it all together. Dan Mullen didn't. Dan Mullen's a brilliant offensive mind, didn't do anything else. And I think that is where Florida fans need patience, because Graham Mertz is not the answer at quarterback, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to have his best season. I do think Austin Armstrong, defensive coordinator, is the youngest defensive coordinator in all of Power 5 football and is like on a rocket ship to the moon in terms of his career at his age, 28 years old. But you're putting the defense is a question. It's a major question, and so Armstrong is there to try to fix that. That's the side of the ball I'm concerned on. Only 3 starters back on offense, 4 starters back on defense. I think the running game and the offense will be okay. It's still the defense that's the problem. So I think you should give Billy Napier patience. You should give this staff and this program patience. I don't think the start of year two is the right time to start losing your mind. If they are 3-9 at the end of the season, yes, then you can lose your mind. But I think this is a 6 or 7 win team, and if they're 6 or 7 and they look more competitive and they're headed in the right direction and they keep recruiting in the top 15, I think you can be excited about 2024. But it is a risk, though, for Billy Napier to put his entire, potentially put his entire career on the line with a 28-year-old defensive coordinator, even if we think very highly of him. So I do think Florida fans, you could be in for it this year, but I think Billy Napier, I trust to some degree until he proves otherwise. Until he proves otherwise. The most underrated sporting event to be at in person is this weekend. I love the College World Series. It is Americana personified. But the Indianapolis 500, is when you sit, as Ryan McGee just said, every human being in America should go to the Indianapolis 500. You may not like watching it on TV. You may not like racing. You may not care about any of it. But to be there with 250, 300,000 people, where the entire community, I used to sleep at my cousin's parents' house, 3 blocks in to Speedway neighborhood outside of the track, because it is baked into the neighborhood. It is ingrained in the community. They are obsessed with it. It is a part of who they are. And when you go, you are immersed in it. And then you get to sit there in the stands, hopefully in turn one, because it's the best seat in the house, and you watch rocket ships go by you at 230 miles an hour. Do not tell me you don't feel like a kid again. I guarantee you, you will feel like a kid again. So you don't have to know anything about the drivers. You don't have to you don't even have to know anything about racing, strategy, pit stalls, fuel windows, nothing. You don't need to know any of it. And you can still go to the Indy 500. You can bring your own beer into the stadium. Into the track, you can bring a cooler of beer and whatever else you want into the track. You don't have to spend a penny when you're there. Where else do you get to do that? It's awesome. It is the best event you can ever go to. I think it's the most underrated sporting event in our American sports calendar year. Things that are viewed as great are great. The Masters, you know, college, you know, Final Four, Kentucky Derby. Things that are rated very highly are that good. There's no question they are that good. But, man, the 500 does not get enough love. TV ratings are not great. It is one of the best events to go to in person, bar none, in the entire sports calendar year. So if you got a chance, please go check it out, man. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. My name is Braden Gall, in for Paul. Your calls, college football, Texas A&M and Colorado, what do they have in common? That's next, right here on ESPN Radio.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.